Hello, you're listening to a podcast from Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. Radio Maria is a 24/7 Catholic radio station broadcasting online via our app, Radio Maria Play, and on DAB in an increasing number of areas. You can follow us on social media. And if you enjoy this program, please do click like and subscribe to us on your podcast provider. Radio Maria relies entirely upon listener donations. We have no other sources of funding, so please do consider supporting us with a monthly or one-off donation so that we can continue to keep providing great programming free at the point of access. To donate or find out more, visit us at radiomariaengland.uk.
You are listening to Radio Maria, and this morning we are having such a lovely time learning about how to serve others, be it here in our own towns, be it way far away in perhaps Ukraine, Nigeria, Syria, or Sudan. But let's turn back our attention to supporting our brothers and sisters here in our own country. We have a country of people that are giving, that are serving, that are letting Jesus lead the way with seeing him in each of our neighbors. One parish that has been doing this for many years is the beautiful Church of Farm Street. Now, it's not called Farm Street Church, but I have forgotten the name of the parish. But don't worry, I have someone that knows it off by heart. I have Father Dominic Robinson with us this morning, as well as two parishioners, Ajay and Mark. Hello, everybody. You're on air.
Hello.
Hi, Helena. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
All right, you must correct me. It's not called Farm Street. There's a correct parish name for your parish. What is that?
Well, what's correct, Helena? I mean, most people, the tradition is they call it Farm Street. It's kind of well known as Farm Street because that's the street it's on in central London. It was a farm in the Middle Ages until the neighbourhood of Mayfair got built up in the 18th century. Very different now, of course. And in the early 19th century, after Catholic emancipation, when Catholics were allowed to build churches again, then this church was built with donors, very generous donors, and built according to the architecture of the Gothic revival, really trying to rival, you know, if you like, some of the Anglican cathedrals. And it took the name of the Immaculate Conception because, of course, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception was promulgated around that time as well. So it's actually officially a Church of Our Lady. It's the Church of the Immaculate Conception, and we've got lots of images of Our Lady all around. So Farm Street's fine, but it's also very much dedicated to the Mother of God.
I love how you say it's in competition. It will rival any of those Anglican churches, but
we don't want to. I mean, not exactly that, is it? But I mean, you know, but that was their idea, I think, at the time. We get on really well now. I mean, obviously, there's great ecumenical cooperation here. Oh. There really is. Different times, but in the 19th century, I suppose that's what it was about, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Huge design, the high altar, etc., who did the House of Parliament and all of that. Yeah.
And it is beautiful inside. Listeners, do go over to Mayfair, check out Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, Farm Street. You'll see the beautiful stained glass windows, the beautiful art. But one item that if you don't look out for, you might accidentally sit on. And that is a beautiful statue of sleeping Jesus, homeless Jesus. Can you tell us a bit about this beautiful, beautiful artwork, Father Dominic?
With great pleasure. And then I might hand over to Ade and Mark to say a bit about its significance. Well, Homeless Jesus, we brought in 2017, and it's by Canadian sculptor Tim Schmaltz, who's done a lot of work commissioned by Pope Francis and in Rome and other places around the world as well. He's done a lot of work which is based on the gospel message, particular parts of the gospel relating especially to Catholic social teaching, to care of the poorest. And Homeless Jesus, it's basically, and you can have a look at this, by the way, on our website, and there's a panoramic view of the church on our website. So you can actually home in on homeless Jesus. It's basically a man on a park bench who is covered apart from his feet. And people go along to the bench and think, "Oh, this, what is this? Okay, right? It's someone sleeping on a bench, as we might think when we walk past anyone who's sleeping on a bench in a park or wherever." And then we look more carefully, and we see, well, the feet aren't covered. And then we look more carefully, and sometimes people, if they stay, they notice that they're are the holes from the nails in Jesus' feet. And of course, we've got an explanation by it as well. So it explains that this is actually Jesus sleeping homeless on a bench. People come up and they spend time in front of it. They spend time in prayer. They spend time sitting beside Jesus. They sometimes put flowers there. And it fits very much with the invitation to put a faith into action, which the church is about, which we're all about. So that's homeless Jesus, what we do at Farm Street is to try and put that faith into action, not to signal virtue towards us, but simply because we responded to very real needs during the pandemic. Addie could probably say a bit about that.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please.
Hello, Helena and everyone. Thank you very much for having us here. I'm the project manager for Central London Catholic Churches. It's a group of volunteers that came together in April of 2020 to provide a hot drink and sandwiches at Trafalgar Square during the pandemic. And at the time, it was called the Refreshment Hub. Since then, the service moved to Warwick Street for 6 weeks, where a meal, a shower service, employment advice, and legal support for those with no recourse to public funds due to their immigration status was provided. CLCC, as it's now known, is based at Farm Street. And that's very interesting because, as you know, it's very exclusive in Mayfair, but we also now have the service, which opens twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 11:30 for hot drinks, fruit and biscuits, and then a hot meal is served between 12 and 2 p.m. It's run entirely by volunteers, some who are doctors, lawyers, some accountants, those in religious lives, and we have the retired as well as students. We have the food provided by two local organisations, and it is top quality food. We also have another organisation a couple of doors next to us, and they've been very generous over the past 3 years, and our guests have enjoyed some pizzas and some salad and desserts. Now, on our books, we have up to 54 committed volunteers who are there depending on the day of their shift, and they have developed a very good rapport with our guests. That goes on to build trust and then find a suitable route to help them back into employment. On our site, we have guests that enjoy a warm and social atmosphere where they can be themselves. There are board games, scripture readings, a barber service, and with CLCC's connections to Westminster City Council, we've had a couple of job fairs to help our guests get back into work.
I love how you call them guests. Not them, sorry. But I love how you use the term guests for each of the people you support. Was this something that they brought up? Was it? How did this term and this loving, endearing way of referring to the people you support, how did that come about?
Well, I think Helena, I mean, I think it's really part of what we felt that we wanted to be about. You know, we found during the pandemic, especially when a lot of places, most places, just about everywhere was closed, and the homeless, although the Everyone In scheme, as it was called by the government, which was introduced by the government managed to house a lot of people in hotels and bed and breakfasts. There were still about 200 or 300 on the streets. And St. Patrick's, Soho Square, and the wonderful work done by Samantha Flanagan and Father Alexander Sherbrooke and his team there, they were looking after the homeless who were left on the street. There was really nowhere else open. And it was trying to provide some humanity to what was a very inhuman situation. And that's really how this emerged and how this particular model and our thinking about how we do this emerged. The Westminster City Council then invited us, the Council for the Centre of London, they invited us to be part of this and to set up a service which would be connected to the hotels, to the Connaught Hotel here, was the main hotel, who have been absolutely incredible, fed the homeless for 18 months, basically, and then we started to get donations in. And so we were able to work alongside St. Patrick's, and then we developed our own thing across different churches, which really tried to provide humanity in a very inhuman situation, which we weren't just giving handouts, but actually gradually we were developing this model of bringing people in, of giving them a restaurant service meal as well, giving them that dignity which they deserve. And that's something which is going on across the sector, I think at the moment. It's not just us, of course, who are moved in this direction. I think it's a part of the thinking now across all of the homeless services that that we want to really show our guests, a really special care. And the more that you show care, then the more chance you have of working with the homeless. The more you develop a sense of community as well, then the more those who are on the streets, or not everyone who comes to us, and not everyone we say is homeless is actually without a roof over their heads, but they're in and out of accommodation, they're sofa surfing, they're on night buses all the time. The people who are really struggling, the more you show them that love, which is what the gospel is about, then the more you get the chance of moving people onto independent living. So that's why we call them guests, I think. They're part of our community. They're part of our parish. This parish, Farm Street Parish, is a real contradiction between of the very wealthy and the very poor. There's a lot of empty accommodation around here. And we need to ask ourselves serious questions about that, about why that's the case and why we have the largest street population of homeless in the country, in the city of Westminster. It just jars. It doesn't make sense. And as committed Christians putting into action the gospel, Catholic social teaching, we're putting our faith into action, then I think we're called to try and do something about it, to advocate on behalf of the homeless and to provide them that love and that care, which will begin to address this really serious issue.
Thank you, Father Dominic. Adja and Mark, you both are very much involved in this project, this wonderful outreach project from Farm Street. How did you get involved with it? Who was to go first?
Mark.
Mark's going first.
I was just going to add to what Father Dominic just said. So I retired in Canada about 4 years ago and came to London, became a member of this parish, and heard the calls for volunteers for the homeless service and had been involved in similar kinds of initiatives back in Canada. But when I began to get involved with this one, it really struck me as very unusual and different. And that is because we actually bring people in, sit them down, and serve them over 2 to 2.5 hours, as Addy said, coffee, tea, biscuits, fruit, a full course meal, dessert afterwards. We really treat them very humanly. Not only that, but because we're involved with them for such an extended period of time throughout the day, we get to know them. So we greet them by name frequently when we see them. You see high-end restaurants, their favorite customers and so on, and treat them special. We do the same thing with the homeless, and I think they feel it as well. And it's nice to get involved a little bit in their lives. We obviously draw boundaries around that, but sometimes we can provide other needs beyond just serving food. Like, we have a handout that we give them that lets them know about services in the area. But sometimes they're personal things, too, that we can help them with. So this was a really eye-opener for me, that this kind of a service, which is so engaged with the community, and I think it's really wonderful. And it extends, if I could pivot for a second, to how we handled the situation on Coronation Day. So on Coronation Saturday, we wanted to find a way to include our guests in the celebration. So instead of having the service here at Farm Street like we usually do, we handed out 50 vouchers for food at the Mayfair Chippy and invited our guests to go have lunch in Grosvenor Square, where the big celebrations were going on there. And that mostly worked out pretty well, but it was a kind of a wet afternoon. But they had put out tables and umbrellas and things like that, so people were able to take advantage of this. And I think we served something like 30 mm-hmm. guests out in the community that day. And I think the guests appreciated that we made an attempt to kind of meet them where they were or where they would likely be on a day like that. So it's that kind of personalized service, I think, that really makes a difference.
It's true. It's true. Adja, how did you get involved? Mark moved to and found community amongst the different communities. But what about you? What's your story?
Oh, mine isn't as interesting as Mark's. I was actually on furlough from my previous job, where I've been for over 30 years, and had every intention of returning. However, I listened to Mass online and from the cathedral and answered a call asking for volunteers to volunteer at Trafalgar Square. It took me, I have to say, about 3 weeks to answer that call. But yes, we were there serving tea and coffee. And again, I was, you know, assuming I will be returning back to work. But then an opening came up that we will be serving more tea and coffee at Warwick Street and then over here. So I would say it's very satisfying. There's something, as Father Dominic said, it's, as Christians, it is our duty to look after those that are marginalised, that are vulnerable. And I kind of feel as if I'm in the right place.
Yeah. Oh, Adja, you've got your story continues, though, from there. It doesn't stop with just listening to those guests coming in and offering a cup of tea. You are now involved in another project at Farm Street about listening. Ooh, share. Oh, listeners, you want to listen to this? Share with that with us, please, Adja.
Yes, thank you, Helena. I'm also the project manager for Catholic Listeners, which is the telephone helpline service, and that launched in April 2020. It's a Diocese of Westminster initiative, and the service is open three times a week on Mondays, Tuesdays and Fridays from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And as I said, it's a confidential helpline which was set up for those who want to return to the Catholic faith, for those that are baptised. And the idea did come about from lockdown in 2020, from Father Dominic, I must say, to keep communities connected to their parishes and local services. The helpline is all about listening to others, and our target callers are also those that want to learn more or explore their faith, those who are troubled by their faith, those who are not of the faith but want to know more about becoming a Catholic but don't know where to turn to or who to speak with. And we also take calls from those who are lonely or just need someone to talk to. All this is done in a safe space on, I'll give you the number, 0800 448 0704, or you can contact us by email at catholiclisteners, which is one word, at gmail.com. And the helpline is staffed by a team of volunteers who are dedicated, friendly, empathetic and compassionate, and they also come from all walks of life and backgrounds, and they will listen without judgment. We're not a counselling service, but where necessary, we signpost callers to other agencies, services or priests where we need to. And callers can call us at any time. And if the service is closed, there is the option of leaving a message and we will get back to you. Again, it's rewarding, it's satisfying just to be able to listen and help those that are in need. And it's also a way of giving back.
Oh, Adja, I hope one of the places you signpost is Radio Maria, England.
Definitely.
Yeah, yes, we do. Yeah.
Oh, it's been lovely. So so lovely to have you, Father Dominic, Adja and Mark on this morning, sharing with what all is happening at Farm Street, the beautiful work that you give to your neighbours, to those guests and for those that call in to support with them in many different ways. Now, what I kept hearing was volunteer, 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 all of this done by volunteers. How can my friend who is listening right now, just put down their stuff, is getting their stuff ready for work, has their pen and paper ready to write down, how can I volunteer? Can you share with us that?
Ade, do you want to say how that happens?
Yes, of course. So we do have a system in place. And if you are interested in volunteering with us at Farm Street, the email address is centrallondoncatholicchurches@gmail.com. And we will get back to you. We're just looking for people that are good with people, who can listen, who can offer their time, even if it's just a couple of hours a month. Like I said before, we've got doctors, we've got retirees, we've got students. And again, if you're interested in volunteering with Catholic Listeners, the email address is catholiclisteners@gmail.com.
And also to say to the listeners, Helena, that because the people there who are listening, so we're hoping that they will also be good listeners to those who need to be heard. And if you're interested in also helping with the homeless, in befriending, in listening, in caring for the poorest, there are other opportunities, of course, around as well. If you can't do Wednesdays and Saturdays, the Sant'Egidio community, you just need to look them up on the Farm Street website and the London Jesuit Centre website. And the Sant'Egidio community do outreach on the streets a couple of days a week here, and our St Vincent de Paul Society on a Monday evening also do a soup run, as it's called, and also help the poor through funding as well, and visiting. There, Emanuela and Frank and Yasko will help with that, and our huge team of volunteers actually also are. It's great fun as well. You know that volunteering. Remember, the king asked us on the whole thing about coronation weekend was the big help out and getting people to volunteer. And it's something the churches can really provide. And I know that the Caritas network, which manages, which we come under, Central London Catholic Churches, there's a huge amount of volunteering opportunities, certainly within the Diocese of Westminster, but, you know, up and down the country there is as well. And one of the really good things, I mean, about this community, this parish, is the number of people who really want to volunteer and who want to lead. And we've been led very well by Ade as project manager the last few years. To mention also by Tony and by Jen, who ran it. Tony right at the start, who ran the homeless services for her, right at the very beginning when we were in Trafalgar Square and really struggling, and then Jen, who steered it for a couple of years so well. So, and all of our volunteers, you know, who may be listening, that you know, we're so grateful to them as well. And if anyone wants to join us, then they will feel that they're part of a community. In fact, there's a party coming up in a couple of weeks' time as well, a social. So it's not just all going out and helping with the homeless, actually building community ourselves and community with those who are poorest. Because one of the things about this parish is that, you know, that it's those who are on the peripheries, those who are sleeping on the streets, are actually very much part of the community, that we don't just call them guests, we actually call them parishioners, because they're actually the very few people who come to the church who actually live here. They're not on the electoral roll, but they are sleeping in the boundary of the parish. They're part of the family of God, you know?
Amen, amen. Listeners, I must say, there are huge smiles on Mark and Ade's and Father Dominic's faces. So they are, volunteering has blessed them as well. Oh, Father Dominic, there is a huge, not just a spark, but a bonfire coming out of Farm Street with the Holy Spirit, just giving, 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 and finding community. I want to thank all three of you for joining us today. But before I let you go, would it be possible for you to pray for our listeners and for us to pray for you?
Well, let's hope and pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit then. And we know that the Holy Spirit will come. We're in these days now preparing for the great feast of Pentecost with Our Lady, the Mother of the Lord, with the apostles. And with great confidence, we pray that that Holy Spirit comes into our church and instills into us the spirit of charity, the spirit of loving kindness, the spirit of compassion and mercy, especially for the weakest, so that our parish communities, so that wherever we are and we work, can be renewed and transformed, so that we really build up the kingdom of peace, of justice, of love, of truth. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all, and God bless the beautiful work you do.
Thank you, Helena.
Thank you, Helena. It's much appreciated being on.
If you want to learn more about Farm Street, please visit farmstreet.org.uk, the parish church of Our Lady of Immaculate Conception.
This was a Radio Maria podcast. If you enjoyed it, do please click like and subscribe on your podcast provider or leave us a review. Every bit of feedback helps increase our visibility and allows us to reach more people with the message of Christ's saving truth. And if you don't already, you can listen to Radio Maria live either online or on DAB in selected regions of the UK. We'd love for you to call in live and be part of the conversation. See our website, radiomariaengland.uk, for more details and a full schedule of programmes. And do please consider making a donation so that we can keep making more programmes like this. We are completely dependent upon the generosity of our listeners.